starting with my introduction, my name is Kitki Patel, and I'm currently presenting my work that I conducted at Texas Department of State Health Services. And I have my colleague here, Emily, so she's going to actually help me answer some questions at the end if you have, since I'm still a newbie at Texas. Yes, 7 months old in Texas. And today I'm going to talk about how we used certain additional variables in our inpatient hospital data to identify different kinds of work-related hospitalizations, because we all know when we use, you know, workers' comp as a peer source, we kind of miss out on a lot of those cases. So we wanted to explore, you know, more in that area. Here's our disclaimer. We're a Texas Occupational Safety Surveillance Program funded through NIOSH. I'm currently in the 12th year of funding. And we're a Fundamental Plus program. I'm going to give you a brief introduction of how the state workers' compensation works, the coverage status, our objectives, what we did, what codes were included, our algorithms, results, conclusion. So to start with, as we all know, that there are currently 26 funded states that conduct state-based occupational health surveillance through NIOSH funding. And the major component of that surveillance activity is calculating occupational health indicators, or OHIs, so to speak. And five of those OHIs currently directly pull data from inpatient hospital discharges. And as you can see, the five listed here, the number 9, pneumoconiosis hospitalization, that one directly identifies based on ICD-9 CM code diagnosis. But the four others, that is work-related hospitalizations or work-related burns, low back disorders, or severe traumatic injury hospitalizations, all four of these are identified solely on the base of payer source, that is workers' comp. So workers' comp in Texas since 1989 under the Texas Workers' Compensation Act covers all employees under that. However, there is a clause that in Texas, private sector employers can opt out of workers' compensation coverage, and they're called as, quote, non-subscribers. So the breakdown here shows the 2016 status of workers' compensation coverage in Texas. So if you try to look at your right, you're looking at the breakdown of workers' comp non-subscriber employers, and we can see there about 22% of Texas employers are non-subscribers that employ approximately 1.8 million people. However, that does not mean if an employer is opting out of workers' comp, is denying any kind of, you know, compensation if an employee gets injured or sick because of a work-related condition. A lot of them also offer something called as an alternate occupational benefit plan, or they have a self-employer coverage. And 70% of those 1.8 million, that is approximately 1.3 million people, are covered under those alternate occupational health benefit plans. And to your left, you can see the subscriber status. That is about 78% Texas employers have workers' comp subscription. Although I'd like to mention a caveat that to the workers' comp subscriber, these are mainly the large employers. When we see about the non-subscriber, these are all the small and mid-sized employers we're talking about. Why does it really matter about all of this? We know that in last 2014, I know Oklahoma and Florida were trying to get on board with Texas and trying to see if they wanted to include some of the components of, you know, Texas's workers' comp system of opting out, although it didn't work out, but then there are a lot of states that are considering that fact. And recently, I guess in 2013, Greenwood and Barron. They took a look at the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey data and found that approximately 5 million work-related ED visits in the year of 2003 to 2006 were paid by either private or government insurance systems and not by workers' comp, or either they were paid by workers themselves. Supporting that, recently Jean Sears and her group presented, published a study looking at 10 years of hospitalization data for three states, that is California, Colorado, and New York, and found that significantly higher proportion of hospitalizations that are work-related are not being paid by workers' comp, but, you know, mainly by Medicare and Medicaid systems. So that is really shifting the burden of, payment from workers' comp to all of these other insurance systems. And so we wanted to also look, you know, if that is something that we are observing and identify main other data fields that we can use and ICD-9 CM codes to track these work-related hospitalizations. So we mainly used the Texas Healthcare Information Collection System, which is nothing else but a combination of all hospitals reporting to this collection system. And they have something called as an inpatient public use data files, which includes de-identified data. That is what we had used in this case since we wanted to first pilot test the data. So we extracted 5 years of records from the PUDF files for individuals 15 and over. A lot of you might have questions why 15 and over when 16 and above is, you know, the general norm to include for work-relatedness. It's because in this PUDF file we have categorical age group data and not identifiable ages, and so we had to work with that. So that's the neat part of it is first we, identified cases based on the regular case definition that is, okay, payer source equals workers' comp. How many are we going to identify? Second was we took into consideration some of the other auxiliary data fields or additional data fields that we like to call them as. In addition to payer source, that can help us identify work-relatedness. So I'll walk you through what each of these variables are. So secondary payer, as it, you know, says, is like if it was not picked up in a primary payer data field, it might be picked up as a secondary payer. There is something called as an occurrence code in the Texas Hospital Discharge Database. An occurrence code is nothing else but a kind of, you know, an incident that might be significantly related to that claim. And so if it was employment-related, then we took that into account. Another variable that we found interesting was the condition code, which is a condition leading to an event, again, which could be employment-related or disability-related or, you know, anything like that. And then value code is another supporting code that is going to influence the payer processing in some or the other way, and that also has an ability to identify work-related hospitalizations if it has workers' comp as a payer. Reported in that. So we added, all these additional variables and primary payer, and then added another layer to it that is identify all potential work-related ICD-9-CM codes, and I'm using ICD-9-CM because we're still in 2014 data. And we added those two to our algorithm to identify those work-related hospitalizations. And this particular slide is showing you all the list of ICD-9 CM codes, which includes the E codes, the payer status codes, as well as the additional supplementary V codes, which oftentimes we think that are not documented, but to our surprise, it were in our case, and I'll walk you through it in a second. So how did we analyze? We wanted to compare all the three methods to see, you know, if we are seeing a significant increase in the cases captured, one versus two and one versus three. Also, we wanted to see if there was a difference in demographic distributions of all these cases captured in each different method. So we know if we are randomly missing out cases or it's like a systematic pattern for specific demographic groups. So here, this slide here shows a breakdown of all the data fields and the completeness of data field. Primary payer source, obvious, it has all 100% data. But as we see here, a lot of these codes have about 50% data, but as the number of codes increases, that decreases down. And what we observed that, the comparison between method one and two, we saw about 19% increase in case capture. And when we compared method one versus three, it was about 22%. So additional 9,375 cases were captured in the last method using ICD codes. Looking at the distribution by sex, yes, we did observe, a significant difference in distribution for females. Similarly, for older age workers, we saw that we had missed older age workers when we were just looking at workers' comp as a payer source. Most of them were captured by other payer systems. About race and ethnicity, the interesting finding here was the blacks were less captured in workers' comp, but Hispanic were more captured in workers' comp payer source. So that was an interesting finding. To summarize, yes, we observed a significant increase in work-related hospitalizations ascertained, and there were significant differences in demographic groups. So does that mean, do we recommend other states to do so? I would say still no, because we want to examine the validity of these, data fields. So next steps are conducting a chart review and do a latent class analysis to see the sensitivity and specificity of each data field that we used in this method, and then, take steps further. And I'm assuming we're taking questions later, but I'm leaving my contact info just in case you want to note that down.